Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
Good morning, T. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm in full campaign mode right now, even as spring market's starting to warm up. But as some of you know, I am running for my local select board, which is kind of like imagine the federal government with a president and Congress, except the president's split into three people. I'm trying to become one of those three people.
It's really a challenging situation that you're taking on because there are a lot of people that are going to give you their opinions
and
have an agenda.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're learning a lot about your town.
Tons. I'm learning a ton about my town. And, you know, being a realtor, like, it is not completely different from running for office, right? It's like, talk to lots of people, hear about what their needs are, trying to give them like a structured, thoughtful response. And then, of course, the art of small talk, right?
Right.
There's a lot of skills that transfer pretty well. I live in Belmont, Massachusetts, and it is a great town. But like a lot of towns in Massachusetts, we've just got things we got to deal with, right? These towns don't run themselves. So I'm hoping to be able to contribute to my town. And yeah, it's been fun. And it's exhausting, but it is fun.
Well, good luck.
When's
the campaign? The election is April?
April 1st.
Okay. Very exciting.
Yeah. So this week, we're talking about fixer-uppers again, and we're going to talk about budgeting for a fixer-upper, where to spend, and where to save. So, Mom, what are the key factors that buyers should consider in how, when they're trying to make their fixer-upper budget, and how can they avoid common financial pitfalls?
So the way I approach it is I would make sure I have a detailed budget. Mm-hmm. As we've mentioned, it's sometimes hard to have an exact estimate because a builder or a contractor doesn't always see what's inside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you're going to take down a wall, all of a sudden you find old knob and tube wiring, and then that means you got to deal with the electrical that you weren't going to deal with before.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the budget is, I advise people to do a couple things. One is make sure that they put together a book that shows every choice that they're making for their home.
Mm-hmm.
Because two things happen in a rehab of a fixer-upper. One is you make a lot of change orders, and that costs you big time because you're making them on the fly, and you say, oh, sure, I'll take that wall down. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the price goes up significantly, and you haven't budgeted for that.
Yeah.
The second thing I would say is in anticipation of making change orders, whatever the budget is, I would increase it by 20% because you are definitely going to spend, if you budget $100,000, the all-in cost may be $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the more you have your decisions made and your selections made before and the fewer change orders you can make, the better the final outcome will be.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I thought when we did a big renovation on my house, I felt that one of the best dollars we spent was on an architect. We like went, and for two reasons. Number one, they helped us just design a better space than we had designed for ourselves. They had like identified possibilities that we didn't think were there. And the second was we just had like a game plan on day one, right? Like no one was demoing walls or anything like that before we knew what we were getting into. And that meant that things went faster because the contractor already knew what we wanted and things.
And you'd made your selections.
We made our selections. And I think things came, you know, roughly around what our original budget was because, again, like when we said, like, these are all the tile we want, these are the
light fixtures,
the countertops.
Flooring.
This is what we want. Yeah, flooring. This is what we want you to do. Like that all added up to what we thought it would be. So
I will comment too on your house. One of the great things that I think the architect came up with, and this is why an architect can be valuable, is some people believe that architects are for people that are building big houses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think the architect did very well at your house was to capture space kind of between the living room and your staircase and make that really usable. He created a really good closet that's more like a mini mudroom, and he put the bathroom in the back, which was great because it's not when you kind of come in.
Yeah, I mean, to put that in context, I had a hallway between my staircase and my living room. And it wasn't much of a hallway. It was very narrow. It had a very small, old closet in it, but that was about it. It wasn't like a heavy traffic space or anything. And so rather than have it be just dead space, we turned it into effectively like two rooms, a bathroom and a large closet.
But again, most people with your size house think that they don't need an architect. And I will compliment you and say that I think it was money well spent because I think you got some significant spaces that a small house doesn't always have. That being a really nice big closet kind of slash mudroom.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it's true.
Actually, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
Okay, Mom, when is it smarter to do things DIY versus hiring a professional? And how can homeowners determine where to cut costs without sacrificing quality?
Off the bat, that I'm not going to be your DIY person.
Yeah.
Because I know my limitations.
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost, anybody choosing a DIY project mentality about a fixer-upper needs to know their limitations.
Yeah.
And I think homeowners can do things like paint. I think they can do things like rip up carpet and expose a hardwood floor for someone to come in and refinish. Unless you're really handy and capable, I would be very hesitant to do a DIY project that involves major construction, i.e. walls coming down, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's critical. It's first be self-aware about what you're actually capable of. Like if you are the kind of person that like does carpentry as a hobby, like maybe it is time for you to tear down your own wall and like put something in that you like more. But if you are not, my rule of thumb is if you have to spend more than 15 minutes on YouTube to figure out how to do it,
that's a great
then
advice.
Then hire a professional. You know? Like that's I've done some stuff DIY, like, you know, I re-caulked all my bathrooms, right? Because I, again, you just go on YouTube and it's like a 1 minute long video. Like, go buy this material,
right?
Put it in this like $10 caulking gun, and here's how you reseal your bathroom.
Yeah.
That was fine. I just replaced a couple of light fixtures in my basement, and I actually started to do it myself. They are pretty straightforward, but here's the kicker. The one of the light fixture wires was actually dead. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to get electricity start flowing. Yeah, I don't know how to bring it back to life. So I called an electrician. He did a great job. If you ever need an electrician, I've got a recommendation. He was fast. He was responsive. He listened to what I wanted and he did a really good job. That's the kind of stuff where that's my bar. If it's hard to learn on YouTube, then I'm calling a professional.
And my bar would be dial 411 and try to find a
411. Oh my gosh, blast. No, not 911. 411, wow, blast from the past. Yeah. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat, would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.